Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks to Brett Winterbull for filling my seat last week. Jim, good, bad, crazy martinis, as always today, and we start with the good. Although Jim's got a slightly sour twist towards the end of this one. It would appear, if you look at the mainstream media, who's usually in love with the Obama administration, that given all the various scandals that all seem to involve the Justice Department to one extent or another, and the fact that more and more people on the left are suggesting that, man, it looks like it's time for Eric Holder to go. You even have David Gregory and Tom Brokaw talking about this Sunday on Meet the Press.
Does he stay in the job?
Boy, I think it's tough to see how he does at this case, but it's up to the president. That what we're seeing in the New York Times today is that familiar Washington two-step, officially getting the endorsement of people like David Axelrod and the spokesman for the president. But at the same time, there's another part of that two-step that is going on in which people are saying it would be better if he left. It would be better for the president to get this cleaned up.
Jim, in Clear and Present Danger, it was called the Potomac two-step, basically suggesting that all these votes of confidence are only superficial at the moment. You seem to believe, though, that the president's defense of Eric Holder might be a little more intense than that.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if you believe that Eric Holder is a arrogant partisan hack who has presided over scandals, who has recklessly pursued reporters and leaks in a punitive measure that is aimed more at the reporters than at the leakers themselves. If you think that there's been now a total politicization of the Department of Justice, so if you think he's really bad, then it is a good thing that Tom Brokaw is saying he doesn't understand how he can go. And it's a good thing that the Huffington Post said he should go, and it's a good sign that you're seeing anonymous quotes in the New York Times saying the White House is apoplectic about him and has been for a long time. Having said that, we are in very different rules than normal in Washington in the Obama administration. And the rule of the Obama administration is very straightforward. If the president likes you, you stay. If the president doesn't like you, you don't stay. And clearly, Eric Holder and Barack Obama are attached at the hip. Whoever those anonymous White House sources are, maybe they'll get to Obama and say, look, you know, sir, Eric Holder has really turned into a liability. He's turned into a real problem. Here's why, blah, 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 blah. But as I said in the jolt, look, Obama locuta causa finita. You know, Obama has spoken. The matter is settled. And so until President Obama really sees Holder as a problem for him personally, you're not going to see him going anywhere. And we saw in that last press conference Obama did, he doesn't really think there was anything all that wrong with what was done in the pursuit of the leaks. He is not outraged over this. He's not feigning outrage the way he is over the IRS scandal, et cetera. Pretty much, it's pretty clear. Barack Obama doesn't really have much of a problem with the way that Eric Holder does his job. And as a result of that, it's not terribly likely you'll see Holder leave anytime soon.
Well, I think you're right that he won't leave until the president or somebody high up on the president's staff, Valerie Jarrett, perhaps, tells him it's time to head for the exit. But as more and more comes out on all this stuff, you have to wonder if eventually even Obama will get there. But you're right. He's loyal to the nth degree when it comes to Eric Holder. On to martini number two now, and that's obviously the bad martini. We found out this morning that longtime New Jersey Senator Frank Lautenberg passed away. He'd been ill for some time, died at the age of 89. He had announced earlier this year he was not going to run for re-election in 2014. He was a World War II veteran, very successful in the private sector, although he railed against it a great deal during his time in the Senate. He, of course, served three terms, retired, then came back in odd circumstances when Bob Torricelli was clearly going to lose his reelection in 2002 and ended up serving almost 12 more years in office than he had originally planned to. And so, obviously, someone who has served his nation, even though we disagreed with him most of the time, died after many years of service to this nation. And, Jim, even though Chris Christie gets to appoint his replacement, any state that was looking at Geraldo as your potential Senate nominee next year has a pretty thin bench.
It says something about New Jersey. The names that are being mentioned now are Tom Keene Sr. and Tom Keene Jr. It says something about a guy who was governor in the 80s. He mentioned as the fresh young face to lead. Obviously, this is an interim senator, and you presume he would not be running for re-election. His son, Tom Keene Jr., who was a state legislator, ran a few years back in statewide office. I think it was Ramesh Panuru who pointed out the last time the state elected a Republican to the Senate was back in the late 70s. And there is just not much of a bench here in the state. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Rudy Giuliani, who was obviously a dominant force in New York City politics in the 1990s, but who ended up not really having much of a bench, no designated successor. This is how Mike Bloomberg got in there. And so far, it's not that unthinkable that Christie is turning into that kind of a figure in New Jersey, a you know, larger-than-life personality. And no, that's not a shot at his weight, who everybody personally loves, but who doesn't do much to develop the state party people beneath him. And this would be a good opportunity for him to do this. Obviously, the discussion today is, you know, is Christie going to appoint a Democrat? Is Christie going to appoint a Republican? I think he'll probably aim for the most qualified, popular conservative Democrat he could find. And some folks are already giving me grief about whether there is such a thing as a conservative Democrat in New Jersey, or the most qualified liberal Republican he will find. And, you know, some people are sneering that, you know, all Republicans in New Jersey are liberals. But the point being that, you know, Christie's got to walk a fine line here. He's got to pick somebody who generates as little controversy as possible, but also doesn't alienate himself with Republicans if indeed Chris Christie has, you know, presidential ambitions for 2016. Also interesting is I don't think there's necessarily any tight deadline on Christie. He can take his time on this decision. So for Republicans, it may be actually kind of beneficial that this, you know, this seat be remained empty for a little while. If, as most likely, there's a special election in November, it creates a new interesting factor here in that it may generate Democratic turnout that had been kind of blah, looking at Barbara Buono versus Chris Christie. Alternately, the Republican might have a slightly better shot than normal with Chris Christie atop the ticket in this. So another special election coming up, and it could be a very interesting wrinkle to keep an eye on in New Jersey in the coming weeks and months.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, Christie, obviously, after the perception of his handling of Storm Sandy and all that kind of thing, he's obviously got a huge lead right now. And I think you're right. He's going to play it very, very close to the vest to make sure that there's no unexpected wrinkle here that impedes his path to what right now looks like a pretty easy path to reelection. So on to martini number three now, Jim. And we've talked about the extraordinary work at the EPA that one Richard Windsor did, mostly over emails, it turns out, as he worked for then EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson. We chuckle because it turns out that Richard Windsor did not exist. He was the email alias of Lisa Jackson, and that's why there's an investigation, because it was a private email account, because your business is supposed to be conducted in the sunshine, on public email and all sorts of other things, so you can keep the record. And now it turns out that not only was Richard Windsor the email alias of Lisa Jackson, somehow Richard Windsor was awarded many times as an employee of significant achievement, including for 3 years, a scholar of ethical behavior. Jim, I guess when you don't exist, it's pretty hard to do a lot of things wrong.
Well, I was going to say, point to one unethical act on the part of Richard Windsor, Greg. I've always wanted to put up campaign posters for generic Republican. He's never let you down.
That's right.
Of course, a lot of people thought that I was just talking about Tim Pawlenty. Having just written a novel about the federal bureaucracy, if I included something like that in the bureaucracy, my editor probably would have said, oh, that's too unrealistic. So this is not a case of life imitating fiction. This is life imitating things that are too implausible to be fiction. I guess we should give congratulations to Richard Windsor. So was Lisa Jackson selecting the winners of these awards?
I don't know. You have to
alternate ego, otherwise known as my this voice in my head, has done an excellent job, and I, you know, wish to commend him. So the other thing also, are we absolutely certain there's not another Richard Windsor somewhere at the EPA? Then if you're that guy, you're wondering, why did Lisa Jackson use my name as her alter ego / pen name / way to avoid FOIA requests and other you know, public disclosure laws? So the EPA now well beyond that. I also am wondering, you know, did Richard Windsor ever get painted into that famous portrait of Lisa Jackson now hanging on the walls of the EPA? Is he the one swimming in the river? Anyway, on that note, I will end my Lisa Jackson jokes and turn it back to you, Greg, and get this Monday over with.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to know if he accepted the award in person. My guess is no.
Yeah, pretty good point. Yeah.
Probably Lisa Jackson probably accepted it on his behalf.
By seance, by... oh, you know what? I'm sorry. He had. He actually said he was already on vacation with Manti Te'o's girlfriend.
Perfect. Jim, good to be back. Talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Tuesday for the next Three Martini Lunch.